On 42b2, the Gemara starts off with a modest haibu. When Ezra came into Eretz Yisrael, at what level did they become chayv in the mitzvahs? Was it their raisa, or was it their rabbanon? It's a machlokas. The Gemara says the machlokas right now. Rabbi Ezra Rabbi Chanino Amar Midvat Torah is chayv. They became chayv min ha-tayra.
Is that the same thing with Yeshua? No.
Yeshua is for sure their raisa.
From the beginning.
We're going to go through it right now. The Gemara's going to talk the whole thing out. Midvar Torah Neschayvu, Rabbi Yosi holds it there, Chayvu na Torah, Hado duksivai v'yachash malakach lo hata shayar shuva v'sech lo yirishta. It's going to take us into the land of our fathers. Hekish, Yerushas lo yirushas v'sech. Now we're on Mem Gimel Amid Aleph. That there's a hekish of your Yerusha to the Yerusha of your fathers. My Yerushas v'sech is Dvar Torah af Yerushas v'dvar Torah. Just like they were Torah, they, you two are also Torah. Okay? Now, there is a difference, though, that your forefathers were putter when they first came to Eretz Yisrael, and they became obligated.
It's
going to speak it out. You also were exempt. Now, your forefathers did not have the yoke of government on their shoulders when they entered Eretz Yisrael. They came in as conquerors, and they conquered Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Inkin, Ezra, came with the blessing of, what's he say, who was it?
Koresh.
What was the name? What's his name?
Koresh.
Time of Ezra. They proceeded with the sanction of the Persian king, and without an army. It doesn't say who it was. The Persian king. Whoever.
Cyrus.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know any history. Talking with someone who's totally ignorant of any Jewish history.
I went to
yeshiva, and so I have no history in my background whatsoever.
I understand.
I lost track of history after Yeshua went into Eretz. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Gemara in the Dharm says that if Chaisol was not Chote, the only Navi that would have been given to them was Sefer Yeshua Bovad, the Gemara in the Dharm. Why? Because Yeshua talks about the dividing up of the land. So that we needed. But all the other Nevi'im wouldn't have been given to them had they not sinned, because the other Nevi'im are really telling us to do tshuva from being given up by Hazara and other Averis. So I feel like, you know, all I have to know is Yeshua. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cop-out, if I ever heard one. Hey, Tim, come here, Rabbi Sacha. Even though you have the Ol Malchus, you still are chayv in mitzvahs. After the Sheva Shekavshu v'Sheva Shechilku, that's when they became chayv in the mitzvahs. So there was a 14-year delay. But Atem, Mashenkin, you Ezra, kivin shenichnastem, wherever you go, nischayavtem, you become obligated. In other words, each piece of land that you conquer is immediately chayev. There's no waiting period whatsoever in the time of Ezra.
There was no conquering.
I shouldn't say, you're right, I used the wrong term. Whatever they designated as Eretz Yisrael. What's that? Even Chashmonai.
No, they're saying the conquering was Chashmonai.
Where does it say that?
Eight.
There's a dispute among the Achronim whether parcels of land acquired later in the Second Temple era became sanctified as Eretz Yisrael or not. Morksim maintains that the Chashmonim conquest became part of the Olei Bavel borders. Tuas Ha'aretz disagrees, stating that the sanctification of land took place in Ezra's time only. That's a discussion of, that's a machlokas, whether Chashmonim is also included. That's a separate thing. But
where were you reading?
That was footnote 8. But okay, so that's a separate question, whether the Chashmonim, if they added to it, was also considered a part of Eretz Yisrael. But there was a designation of what was considered Eretz Yisrael or not in the time of Ezra. And as soon as they designate something, it becomes chayv and mitzvahs immediately. No, never shemesh chivshu. Okay. I will atem rishon kono mischayev. The parcel of land that you acquire at the beginning becomes obligated immediately. Let's see what else he has over here in A. Let's see here. He brings the distinction between the Rambam brings between Ezra and Yehoshua. The Rambam says that Yeshua's sanctification of Eretz Yisrael lapsed, whereas Ezra's sanctification was permanent and is in effect today. Rambam explains that the force of Yeshua's sanctification was only by dint of his conquest of the land, right? It was by force. So once the land is taken away by force, his Kedusha is annulled. At that point, it's not called Eretz Yisrael, the land of the people of Israel. However, the second sanctification was based on taking hold of the land, Chazaka. So that's the Svara, and that does not lapse. Okay, so that's the Rambam Svara, why Kedusha Rishonah are Kitchel HaShaita V'loi Kitchel HaSa Lavai, and Kedusha Shniyah Kitchel HaShaita V'Kitchel HaSa Lavai. That's the Rambam Shita. Right, if you want to see the Rambam Shita inside, look in Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumas, Perek Vav Hilchos Meisav Chira. Those are the places where the Rambam repeats both things, the whole essay about it. And that's what this comes from. That's correct. Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Meisav Chira is at a loss to explain this distinction. Why should taking hold, why should Chazaka have more permanence than conquest, than kibush, right? I mean, he's asking the question, Kesef Mishnah, do we feel that we understand it? What? We feel we do understand the distinction?
The question? Oh, no. We don't.
you agree the Kesef Mishnah's question makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Conquest seems more significant.
So my pronoun answer, acquisition of the land that imparts the sanctity. Since the original acquisition was through conquest, the sanctity that took hold was impermanent. The subsequent settling could not impart. The return of exiles, however, was through Chazaka. And then it was permanent. Okay, I don't know. That's what the textual interpretive variance A talks about. Okay, let's go on. Chazaka is a Kenyan chazaka. You're talking about a chazaka of Cheskas Gemoshon or a chazaka that something is to the chazaka of Kenyan is Noal Gadar Uparat Kol Shehu. That's the Mishnah in Bava Basra. So as soon as you make one digging with a shovel into a plot of land, you're cutting it immediately. So that's what we're talking about here, the chazaka that you have. Okay. What am I up to? Okay, so next page.
That's more of a show of bias than just conquest, because conquest is above, not in. Is that the point?
I don't know. You can look at it however you want. You know, if I'm showing my ownership by virtue of my by force by forcing people out, this is really thinking about the Yoma here, right? So when we're gonna go into Gaza, right, we're gonna kick Hamas out. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be a kibush. That's not chazaka, that's kibush. If chalila, we were to have an army come and kick us out, then that Kenyan, we would lose it. It would be annulled. Our kibush was overtaken by another kibush, which I guess you could say was happening with Yehoshua. He took it with force. He was kicked out with force. So therefore, whatever, it's...
And if somebody else makes a chazaka in the land that I once made a chazaka, does it undo my chazaka?
Yeah, obviously it does. Yeah, I mean, that's the rules of war. Whoever wins last is the one that gets it, right? So, Mashenkin, if you're going to the land mitzad chazaka, then basically you're using Avraham Avinu's havtacha that he's given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get the land. That's coming at it from a completely different perspective. This is my land because I own the land way back when. So this chazaka that I'm making it, this is permanent. You can't undo my ownership. I mean, that seems to be the svar that the Rambam is saying. I'll be pshuto. Okay, Omer Rav Lazar. So Rav Lazar says, we're now on 43a2 in the English. This is a lot of important footnotes here. Omer Rav Lazar. Meilein kibla lema samaisas. Now this is a different view. So the first view, what's the name? I just want to get the name again. What was that name? The first name was Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. Let's try to remember the names. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina is therefore the Shita, etc. on the base, that it's the oraisa. Rabbi Eliezer seems to be saying now that it's only drabbanan. May a lehen kibolena some maestros. There was no, he's saying in the time of Ezra, there was no chiyuv de oraisa. It was something they accepted upon themselves. Matam, and how do you know this? And he quotes a pasuk over there in Nehemiah. And if you take a look, at the pasuk.
This would be then derabbanan and not the oraisa?
Yes. This would be derabbanan. This is why we're going to learn the Gemara right now, according to some mepharshim. So first approach here is that we're saying that this is all derabbanan. Okay, let's just take that approach for now. And he quotes the pasuk in Nehemiah. Despite all this, what does it mean? Despite all this, despite all what? Despite all the troubles we've gone through, or something like that. I'm not sure exactly pshuto shel mikra. What despite all this? But this despozos is a key word that's supposed to indicate that it's a kabbalah on ourselves. Does anybody speak this out? Bucholzos, because the Gemara is going to ask, what do you do with bucholzos? Bucholzos, it has a mashmos now. I should have looked up the pasuk. I apologize. I don't know what the context of that pasuk is.
Some kind of like contract.
No matter, despite all the issues we went through, we still, let's just say, I'm just guessing, we still went ahead and accepted, in spite of what everything that was going on, we still, with our own, you know, because we wanted to do the mitzvah so badly with all that was going on, we still went ahead and accepted the mitzvahs. So it's something we did voluntarily. That's the idea here. Balhachasim sarenu leviyinu kanenu, upon the sealed portion of our officers, leviyim, and our kohanim. And it says over there on the end of the psukim that we accepted the one-third of the shekel, bringing bikurim, bringing bechairas, and we'd take challah, and we'd take maestras, and we'd take bikurim, and the fruits of every tree, and wine and olive oil. Here we see that they accepted mitzvahs upon themselves voluntarily. They were not obligated in Torah law. That's what it says over here. Now, a couple of things in the footnotes that are important to note. Very, very important. Especially, this is historically very important, especially for our time. We're going to go through a couple of points here. Number one. Number nine, he mentions that Rabbi Lazar maintains that the Kedusha was not on the biblical level, because most of the Jews remained in Babel. The pasuk says the entire congregation was total 42,360. That's all that came into Eretz Yisrael. So according to that, there's a very small minority of Yidden that are actually in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Kedusha can't be their Raisa. This follows Rashi and Ksubis, right? The majority of the Jews were not in Babel. They were scattered throughout the whole diaspora. And so on. The Bavli in Ksubas 25a says a braisa that teaches all or most of the Jewish people must be present on the land for the mitzvah of challah and their braisa to apply. Okay, and it's because it says b'vo'achem ha'aretz. It says something in the parsha of challah. So all of or most of Klal Yisrael has to be there for challah to be challah. If you have less than all, a rov, then it's derabbanan. Rambam extends that rule. The trumas are maestras. Just like challah, you need b'vachem b'as kulchem, so too you need for trumas are maestras, which means if it's manazeh, trumas are maestras also drabbanan. Even in the time of Ezra, it's drabbanan because you don't have rov of Klal Yisrael there. That means, Rabbi Isai, according to what I heard on a recent lecture, that in another couple of years, we are going to have historical change, which is going to be halachically very, very significant.
Except that we don't have the
shvatim. Doesn't matter. For this, you don't need the shvatim. For this, you don't need shvatim. For yovel, you need shvatim. But you have to be careful. Each halacha is different. This is a din of voachem. And if rov Klal Yisrael is there, it's going to change the din of challah. Challah is going to be the oraisa. Trumas Umaisis is then going to also become the Araisa.
Who does the calculation?
I don't know. That's what I heard. The census, okay?
I just heard they uncovered another, like...
The UJA.
Hundreds of thousands of Yidden in Soviet Union who didn't know their Yidden, still don't know their Yidden because their mothers were...
I don't know. You know what are you ruining it? You want to ruin it?
I don't know.
Is that what you want to do? You want to spoil it? Okay. There's always somebody. It's always somebody that wants to spoil my fun. Okay, fine. I don't know when, and I don't know exactly any details.
Here, have a box of tissues.
You're really asking for
tears,
it.
Tears. Just to wipe your tears.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so let's keep going on. One more point I want to make a point over here. Now, in footnote 11, he brings an unbelievable medrash that the truth of the matter is that it was the sins of Trumas and Maisus that caused the Gaulis to begin with. So they really weren't sure, you know, that we're being makabel on ourselves, Trumas and Maisus. That's what got us in trouble to begin with. Maybe it's not such a good idea, you know. So it says over here, the earthly court was not sure whether it was wise to enact these obligations. Therefore, they spread out the scroll of the enactment in the temple and locked it up overnight. The next morning, they found it was sealed, indicating heavenly approval. So there was some kind of a nace that took place. I don't know what that means. It was sealed, not sealed. I guess.
So
what was sealed? What it was Emes. Sealed means signed?
Yeah.
Hossum. That's what it means, sealed with the sign of Emes. Okay, very good.
So what did it became then the right stuff?
No. We're going now. Everything is what we wanted to know whether this is a good idea for us to be makabel these mitzvahs. Okay? And there was an approval, min hashamayim. There was a sim they had min hashamayim that this is a good idea. Okay.
But
still the Rabbana. According to Chazon Ish, Rambam maintains Ezra's Kedusha was biblical in one sense, when at some date later in history, most of the Jewish people would live in Eretz Yisrael, his sanctification would take effect biblically. Trumas and Maisus would become biblical obligations automatically. No further sanctification will be needed. That's what's so great about this footnote over here. This is unbelievable. That means there's no Maisa needed. We don't need any Nevi'im or any Kohanim or any Melech. We don't need anything. It's automatic. As soon as a number hits that magic number of Rov, automatically we become Chayiv and Mitzvah D'Oraisa.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Anyway, this is all according to this Mahalach that we're explaining, that the heat going, that this is only Drabbanan. There is a Shita in footnote in the textual interpretive variant B that quotes the Re cited in Tosfos on the second column over there in Yevamos and the Rash, who both say that it's impossible to imagine that the Chi of Trumas and Maisus were nothing more than rabbinic during the Bayis Sheni. They just can't accept that, and therefore they posit everybody agrees. That's to say, both we're quoting now, Rabbi Lazar, and the first one, which was Rabbi Yossi, right? That both of them all agree that it's D'oraisa. Well, what's the machlokas? Machlokas is Bishlama D'oraisa for the Dagim Yitzhar. But what about apples, peiros? That's what they're arguing about. Is peiros D'rabbanan or is it D'oraisa? That's the way. They have another mahalach. I'm not going to get into that too much. Okay. Now we have to understand something, though. As you saw in the Pasuk mentioned Bechoros. Bechor, that's a Den D'oraisa, even Bechutz La'aretz, has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash or not. So what does it mean? We were Makabel Bechor. That's the next question of the Gemara. Mamachem Rabbi Lazar, as Bechoros Bechorenu Betzoneinu. Bechor is biblical, even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara answers, Yekivin Shekibel Aleihem Dvarim Shalom Yechayom Aleihem. Since they accepted things that they weren't chayiv and they were makabel anyway, this Yerushalmi argues on the Bavli. We all know the Bavli from Kedushin, that a person who's makabel to do a mitzvah, gadol hamitzuva v'yaisa, mimisha ainu mitzuva v'yaisa. That's the Bavli. The Yerushalmi holds not like that. Yerushalmi holds like the Havamir Rabbi Yosef. Mitchila, he thought that it was better that he'd make him Yumatel Rabban if you'd say Sumas Patron Mitzvahs, because he's Patron, nevertheless he does them. That's the way the Yerushalmi holds. And therefore he's saying that the reason why Bechor isn't mentioned is because that's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered the Bechor as if they were not Mitzvah of Yosef and they still are doing it. And that's a Maila. So that's the way he learns the Yerushalmi. Now this was a question I mentioned to you before. B'chol zos is the Yerushalmi understands that language as something that indicates, right? Despite all this, we're establishing a lasting covenant. Maybe it's from the second part. We are establishing the covenant. So that indicates that we undertook it voluntarily. What is the first sheet or Rabbi Yisroel Chanin do with it? He's going to say the same idea. In other words, Hashem considers everything as if it was voluntary because we did it with such joy. So what's he going to do with the Hekesh? Because Rabbi Yosef Chanina quoted the Hekesh that just like Avos Secha were Chayv D'Oraisa, so to your Chayv D'Oraisa, what does he do with the Hekesh? So Gemara says, Pasalah La'asad Lavai. He also it's going on Lasad Lavai, meaning that Lasad Lavai, there's going to be Mei Avo Secha. It means Mei Avo Secha means that we're going to have something beyond what our forefathers had, because they only had a certain size of Eretz Yisrael from the Shivas Amamim. We're going to have 10 Amamim, so Eretz Yisrael is going to be even larger than theirs, and there that's Mei Avo Secha. We're going to have more than the fathers. And that's Me'avo Secha. On the base, the Gemara interrupts Reb Kalbo to identify the geographic locations. I'm not even going to bother translating any of this. I'm just going to read through it because I don't know what any of it means. These are the three additional nations mentioned to Avram. And we're trying to explain what these are, what these nations are, I guess. Rabbi Yehuda says, Arvaya Shalmaya Naftoya. Rabbi Shimon says, it's Asya Aspam Yudamesek. Lazar Ben Yaakov Aymer Asya Kartigni Surki. Rabbi Yehuda, Edom Maya Voracious May Amon. So that's a bit, my clock is exactly, geographically, what these three nations, where they are nowadays. Let's go back. May Avosecha. Avosecha Afapisha Nigalu.
Does it say anywhere where the other seven are?
The other seven? You look in them. I have the Atlas Das Mikra has a map. It shows you where each one of them were. Yeah.
It says where they are now.
I don't know. Well, I think that what was it? The king? Who was the king that mixed up
Ashur.
The whole? Melch Ashur king mixed up everybody.
Sancheirev.
He mixed up everybody. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. A good question. If they're mixed up, so how come these are in place? I don't know. I did not look into this.
You can ask.
It says in 6, footnote 6, it says, the Jewish people will come into possession of the lands that were occupied by these nations. These nations had not yet come into existence when Avram was promised these lands. As the Mishnah teaches in Yadayim, they are no longer in those lands now. Edom, Moab, and Ammon weren't along the southeastern corner of Eretz Yisrael. Edom on the south completely, and Moab and Ammon on the east, parts of Moab and Ammon conquered by Sichon. I mean, I think the point is that even if they're not there now, but these were the lands that they did occupy, so that these are the parts of Eretz Yisrael that are going to become ours. So I wouldn't worry about that, about whether these people are physically there or not. It's referring to the geographic location. May Avosecha Afapisha Nigalu Chosuv Nishtavdu. What's more, your forefathers once even though they were redeemed from Egypt, but they had to go back into Sheba, they got kicked out again. Atam Mishatam Nigolim Odeatam Nishtavdu. Once you have a Geula, you're not going to have a Shibud again. A little bit difficult, right?
Yeah.
That's not quite what happened, right?
Right.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. That's going to be footnote 7. Amatam shaluna ru im yoled zachar. This is always, remember we say there's shira chadasha and there's shira chadash, right? That's what this famous part in the Seder. Everybody knows that shira chadash is because Knikeva is becomes pregnant and comes pregnant again and again, whereas a male never becomes pregnant. So once we have that geula, it will be permanent. So that's what this is the same idea here. It's Yoled Zohar. What?
Even today.
Yoled Zohar, yeah. Kishem Shein HaZohar Yoled. I'm so glad you added that. Kishem Shein HaZohar Yoled. Just as a man cannot give birth, Kachatem, Mishatem Negolim, Odeinatem Neshtabim. So you're all bothered by the same question. Now look at Mara Fulda, second column, top of the page. It raises the following difficulty. The temple was destroyed twice. It is the third time it will be rebuilt speedily in our days. Yet this major speaks of only two constructions. He answers.
Oh, footnote,
that, I'm in the second column. He answers, the history has witnessed only one building of the temple. He does not have a Beis HaMikdash Rishon, a Beis HaMikdash Sheni. He has only one Beis HaMikdash. This Gemara, this Gemara folded the way he's explaining our Gemara, because they don't consider 70 years as historically significant, and therefore the Rishon and Sheni are considered one as far as this is concerned, as far as Geula is concerned. So the Medrash does not consider the brief exile between them to be a true exile. Rather, it was given to the Jewish people to immunize them against the long exile in which we find ourselves, that we not despair. 70 years for an immunization.
So this would explain by Kedusha, V'chu yashmienu v'racham av shenis
l'enei kolcha. Very good. Very good, very good. I didn't think of that. V'chu yashmienu v'racham av shenis. You hear that online? Guys, did you hear that? Oh. That was gewaldig. Okay, great. So, good. Next, the last piece of Gemara we'll do. Hamalach me'ako l'achziv. Person who goes from Akko to Achziv. Okay, so again, you got your map out, and you're looking. You can just look at it over here on 43B, because all we need is a short black and white one. Person is going, he's traveling north, okay? So he's going from Akko to Kaziv. He's traveling north on what he calls there Akko Kaziv Road, right? The point is, Mimino le Mizrach HaDerech, to his right, on his right, which is to the east. So there, of course, that's Eretz Yisrael. It's Tahara Mishmer Eretz Hamim. It's no Tumas Eretz Hamim, obviously, because Eretz Yisrael. And anything that grows there is going to be Chayv and Trumas and Maestras. And in Shvius. And Achetivol Lachol Hashim Petur, unless there's a certain area that you know is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Mismolo Lamarav HaDerech, and to the left of the road, that is to the west. Then Tameo Mishmer Eretz Hamim, that's Putzlaretz. It's Tamei Mishmer Eretz Hamim. And it's going to be Potter, obviously, from Maestros and Shvius. Achati Vardalacha, Shehi Chayavas. Achu Magil Achziv, until you reach your destination point. It's a little bit crooked there, right? You're going around a little bit like a right curve. Then what? 14 says, it's been suggested, based on the history, the topography of the region, that the road from Akko veered away from the coast about 5 kilometers inland. The road continued north along the foot of a small mountain range in the upper Galilee, and then veered back to Kaziv near the coast. The coast itself, probably including parts of the valley to the west, was controlled by foreign powers in the Bayis Sheni. So, therefore, and also the shores were frequently swampy. The point is that part was not, there was no kibush in that area. Okay. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, Viv Ad Lav Lobo, until Lav Lobo, I don't know what that is. That's between Akko and Kaziv. There's probably another place there. Anyway, let's keep going. That's where we're going to stop here tonight. This next question is going to go to the next page. So, Akko Atzamahi, what is the din of Akko itself? That we'll wait for tomorrow to see what the pshat is. Okay, Adkan. 43b. Everybody have a good night.
It looks like there's a lot of Gemara.